You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Well, here we are, Don, just a couple of days after Mother's Day.
Mother's Day?
Yeah, it was last Sunday, wasn't it?
It means nothing to me.
I'm sure your mother meant something to you, but she's not with us.
Yeah, she passed away years ago.
Yeah, well, you could...
What?
...have a memory of her or say...
Well, I was very young, if you really want to know.
So being young would... You weren't quite on great terms with your mother because you were young.
No.
You only got to know her better when you got older.
You're on better terms with your parents when you're younger, aren't you, than you are when they're old.
So did you
older.
Give her a thought, Don, when...
No, I must admit I didn't.
Okay.
So it's been about...
How are the family relations? How's your, what about your dad? What happened?
No, he passed away
too. Do you have a Father's Day ever think of him?
No. Life goes on. Listen.
Yep. So the only reason...
Chilling, actually.
What's chilling?
Chilling.
The only reason did you read the budget?
Hang on, Todd. The only reason I've brought up Mother's Day is... Now, because you won't believe this, and you will say, or people will say, we must be diverse or inclusive or not equitable, equal, or we must respect what other people think, but... Could we cut some slack to those people who still call Mother's Day Mother's Day in America? There is official push to call it Birthing Parents Day. Birthing Parents Day. And whenever there's discussion about rearing babies by natural methods, we must not call it breastfeeding. We call it chest feeding. Now,
hang on, can I go back?
Yes.
So Birthing Parents Day then eliminates people who have sacrificed their lives and adopted a kid. So a woman who's adopted a child is no longer recognised, who gives up her life for a kid that
I tell you what, you blokes, you mind fuck too much.
Don, we're not saying
we're
this.
Debunking the bullshit, we're Don. Mother's Day.
We're debunking. The rocket.
I wouldn't give it air.
Don, my point is, mate, that we are asked, a huge percentage of the population are asked to follow and bend to these particular edicts by people who are in charge of pressure groups or have an agenda, and to try and force people or say it's not correct or politically correct to say Mother's Day, it's Birthing Parents Day, we are just saying... Why do we cop this? And of course we don't. And the rocket makes a very good point.
Thank you.
If those people are going to, you just dismissed it, Don, because you thought it was a trivial topic. It might be a trivial topic. We'll get onto yours in a minute. if you are not calling it Birthing Parents, if you're calling it Birthing Parents Day, what about the people, as the rocket says, that have adopted people in good faith at childbirth or whenever? It doesn't matter when you've adopted them. Are they excluded from being called mothers, Don?
No, I'm just...
Because they're not birthing parents and they might never have chest-fed their offspring. Yeah, so that's certainly not...
Don wants to give us a summary of the budget.
No, I don't want to. I just don't know where you find this stuff out. I look at mainstream media. I don't see anything. Where do you go? What's your source?
Of course, while you bring up things like...
No, what's your source?
I'll tell you, Don. So while you bring things up like the state of the road between Port Ferry and Mount Gambier, or the Darling River, which has got no water in it now and hasn't... when you bring up things like that... I go to the overseas news to see if we can broaden the horizons of the people who listen. We've got a lot of people listening. And
We have.
And we broaden the horizons by saying that this is what's going on outside.
Stop
ripping the microphone, Don.
Are you two all right this morning? Are you two all right? No, listen.
Mate, you've just pulled that backwards and
forwards. I will swear in a minute. Now, just back off.
Well, Don,
both of you,
stop pulling the microphone like that, mate. I set this little table up, you know, when we started, and I've screwed that thing in there as tight as I can, and every time you touch it, it falls off the table, Don. Would you mind, please?
So listen, we covered a lot of things.
So while you're talking about local trivial shit, Don, I'm trying to broaden the perspective of the people who listen. And the overseas thrust of Mother's Day was that it should be called Birthing Parents Day, and we find that not extraordinary. We say, and I agree with you, why would they give that any oxygen overseas? But it leads the news over there because agendas seem to rule the day. Go ahead with your exciting topic, Don, please.
No, you mentioned quite a few things.
I'll swear, if you touch that microphone, you've got it. You've never had it horizontal like that ever. It usually sits up in right angles, and the thing you speak into, the actual microphone, comes out. Why are you? You're almost lying. You're almost.
Well, I'm in a slouch position.
Why?
Because I'm comfortable, and so I adjust it so that I'm comfortable.
Fair dinkum. You've just started to get comfortable from the year we've been. You've never sat like that ever.
We've started. We're on.
What?
We're on.
Of course we're bloody well on. Didn't you realise you pressed the buttons?
Well, I didn't know you realised because you were talking shit.
Don, that's a bit of theatre.
I understand. Oh, Johnny, really? Do you think I've just come down in the last shower?
As a matter of fact, I do, Don.
I met the bloke that did your Mustang up too.
On the weekend. Moving right along, Don.
Who?
Edward Shelby. Selby. Is that...
You're trying to be humorous, are you? You haven't even got his name right or correct.
Well, he...
Carol Shelby.
Well, I thought it was Edward Selby. He came up to me at the horse show.
Edward Selby?
Yes.
Ted?
Ted Selby.
Who is he?
Yeah, well, he was just walking past and asked me the name of my horse. He said, is that...
Paul or Frank?
Yeah, that's...
please, no, just a minute. Wasn't this about my Mustang? Who did my Mustang?
Oh, sorry, back to you. Sorry.
No.
Enough about you. What do you think about
Rocket?
What do you think of me?
Rocket.
It is about your Mustang. He's talking about why
just
he met the bloke.
A minute, stupid, please. I wasn't saying get back to me. I was saying, wasn't Don talking about the bloke who did my Mustang? And then how did we get onto his horses?
Because the guy introduced himself by saying, which horse is that? Is it Paul or Frank?
Yes.
Oh, and then he said...
I said, who are you? Oh, it's Edward Selby.
And he does up my Mustang.
Well, I thought they were Selby Mustangs.
Oh, they're...
What are they?
Is that where you went with that?
You
set yourself up for that gag all that time.
It wasn't a gag.
It was a gag, Don.
Shelby, for a start.
You're trying to prove great...
You two are idiots. You
know what you're trying to do?
Geez.
If you stop, you're trying to start send Dr. Fordham, Dr. Fordham?
Very worried.
Dr. Fordham, Don? Oh, fuck. Dr. Fordham, do you know who
Dr. No, I don't.
Oh, gee. Well, get a bit lateral. Who do you think, Dr. Fordham? You've touched that. If you fucking touch that again, I'll punch you. Now, Don, do you know who Dr. Fordham is?
Tell me.
Oh, could you expand your thinking a bit?
Ted Fordham.
Ben.
Ben. Oh, Ben.
Ted Fordham. He played for Ford for Essendon in 1960. Oh, Ben Fordham. Ben is onto the money. You are so dumb. Oh. He doesn't say this.
He does. He's a moron.
He actually says you're a moron. Oh. Yeah, but he says you play the game at being dumb. I said to him, no, Ben, he doesn't play the game. He said he does. No one can be that. Well, he said.
All right, go easy.
No one can be. So, Don, you were trying to pretend that Ted Shelton
Selby.
Sir Ted Selby was the bloke. Was the bloke who makes the Fords known by Carroll Shelby. I've got a signature of Carroll Shelby out there signing one of the cars I used to own.
He's spoken to you in the car park at the National, so he'll obviously come up and introduce himself next time, so you'll know who he is.
And why were you speaking to him about...
To ask the name of the... Is that...
No, I wasn't asking that question. Dad, you start jumping in a rocket. You jump in, but I hadn't... finished the question.
Have you ever been stopped in the street? The number of people that
never.
Listen to this
never.
listen to this shit. And you look at them and say, oh, I enjoyed... Jeez, you question their mentality.
Don't give them something to enjoy, man.
What?
Instead of reefing the microphone backwards and forwards on the table, how could that anyone find that interesting that we talk about that for 5 minutes? But, mate, I'm trying to protect the equipment. Why would you be lying back doing this? Sit up and try and get some interest
oxygen
into your body.
Oxygen into the body?
This is about the most trivial thing I've not ever said, but this is... I'm driving yesterday. What about have you noticed how dim the white lines are on the roads, particularly when it rains?
I'm driving
in over to Collingwood yesterday in the rain, and there were on Punt Road where four lanes go into three, the lines are not delineated. Because there is
between the pair of you, it's like cocoon. Come on, get on to something.
I will guarantee people will contact us saying, "Sam is spot on." When you're driving on the lines are so faded. How about the council, instead of building barbed wire kangaroos or traps?
They're works of art.
Or pinging people for being 4 minutes over in a car spot. How about, if you want to save lives, actually paint some lines on the road that
you
people can see?
You shouldn't be looking at the lines. You should be driving three cars ahead of yourself.
I was looking to see which lane I was meant to be in.
Well, you should be where you're going.
The lines mean
nothing except that if they're a broken line, well, you can pass. Straight line.
You have to sit your road license again soon. Because you're over 75?
Who told you that?
If a friend dobbs you in and says your mental acuity is
And
not,
we've dobbed you in.
We've dobbed you in. And you'll get a letter from Vic Roads and they'll say you must come and sit your test again. That you know the rules and can drive a car. And
that's all I need. About all I need.
Well, I said to Rocket, hey, have you seen this in the paper about people's mental capacity have to be judged when they get over 70? And I said, he said, yeah. I said, we should actually just submit Don for a test? And Rocket said,
yourself? You forgot where you put your coffee this morning. And then you're swearing and carrying on before you couldn't find your bloody coffee.
But that's nothing to do
with dementia.
A debenture. I got debentures. They're worth nothing. Now, Don. Me not knowing where I put my coffee has nothing to do with the competence of driving on a road. You've got to be aware when you drive, and if you can got white lines that you can see, try and keep your car in between the lanes. We have put you in. We nominated Don Scott of Mornington to just go and have another acuity test at Vic Roads. You think we're joking. You wait till you get the form. It has to be signed by you, of course, saying that you'll submit yourself to a test, and it has to be confirmed by two witnesses, and that's Rocket and I. And because we suggested you go and see them. We could perhaps go and film you.
Did you reflect on it? Just change the subject. Did you reflect on our train trip or tram trip the other day?
A train or tram?
Tram down Collins Street.
I haven't reflected.
And that lady was laughing in the two of us as we came back.
Can I tell you why she was laughing? Now, listen to this, Rocket. We go up. We had to go up to a legal conference. Would I love to talk about the legal conference.
Come on, kick on.
Right. So because we're thrifty, we're pensioners, you don't have to pay to get on the tram in the central business district. It's free.
Not just because you're seniors, everyone can.
No, I wasn't saying we got on it free because we're senior citizens. I said we're trying to be thrifty because we're senior citizens.
Right.
Because you get...
Okay. So you got on the tram.
You're not working in with a foot pedal, are you? This is like Don, Ron Blaskett and Jerry G, if you ever know who they are. You got him doing it now. I wasn't talking about... I know you get free train travel.
Come on, what's the story?
But I wasn't saying that for that reason. I was saying because we're... Anyhow, so we get on the tram. I'm dressed like I am. I know this is not good radio, but I'm good. I've got a T-shirt and shorts on and some
You look like an umpire.
No, some scuffs, sandals.
You look like an old man.
So I meet Don... We're going to get on the tram to go up to this legal conference. Don turns up. He is looking. You would think he was the Shah of Iran or the Shah of Persia. He's got pleated slacks on. He's got brown matching shoes. He's got a collar and tie. He's got
reefer jacket,
a coat, and a hat. He's got a R.G. Williams hat.
Oh, Brixton.
Well, he's got his brother's hat on. It's R.G. Williams. So he's got that on. He seriously looked like, he looked like you said, he looked like Tim Fisher. So we get on the tram. Now, this is true. And there's it's quite crowded. And there's a woman there with her son. So Don's fond. Don's phone goes. Now, have you noticed here, Don always answers his phone on speakerphone.
Yeah, and we
often say,
and
Don.
And still holds it by his ear.
Don, you hold it by your ear and you've got it on speakerphone. And I said to you when you hang, I said, why do you put it on speakerphone? He said, I don't know, I can't hear. I said, what do you mean you can't hear? Put the phone to you. So anyhow, this is by way of introduction. So we get on the tram and the phone goes and it's some bozo. It's that's the bloke. It's Mark. What's his name from the equestrian where I was standing filming Don and Don.
Mark Nichols.
Yeah, and you said he was full of shit. So the phone goes and Don's on the tram. Don's on the tram and I'm sitting next to him or standing. And this is how it went. Everyone on the tram knew exactly what Don. Yes, Mark. Yes. Oh no. Well, I don't know. I've sent the photos in of me doing the equestrian. Sam said he sent it to your secretary. No, Don, I'm not ringing you about that. This is Mark. No, but they're in there somewhere. Now, Mark says something else. He says, yes, yes. Don's not even listening to me. The whole tram is listening to this. And I said, Don, even during the call, I said, Don, keep your voice down, mate. The tram driver's even turning around looking to see who's saying this. So we go and do our business and we get back on the tram.
There is in this car. We've gone out and had a meal. You couldn't have planned it better, could you? Go on, keep going.
What was that, Don?
You couldn't have planned this
planned
incident
what
better.
Better?
What you're going to say. Go on, go.
I say you know what I'm going to say.
I know. Worst story ever.
So we get back on the tram.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, who is sitting next to us again?
4 hours later.
All right, well, 4 hours later.
Was this woman, and she's smiling at both of us. I thought, geez, our luck's changed here.
Oh, thank you, Don.
Well, she's laughing. I thought, what is she looking at and laughing at us for? Keep going.
Oh, all right, Don. So we'll both do the story, will we? So what happened? She said, oh, there's a coincidence. She said, what, have you been out doing some horse riding or some horse business? And I said, no, why do you say that? She said, oh, I heard the conversation on the tram when you were going up. She said, we were all talking about it. The people down the back of the tram said, gee, that's interesting about Don being a horse rider. And the bloke up the front said, yeah, I think they're going to a horse trading meeting now. So we get back. So I said, she said, yes. So it was very interesting listening. The whole tram was interesting, Don's conversation with Mark. I said to Don, it's lucky you weren't talking about something really salacious or swearing or whatever. Well, we would have been put off the tram. or fined as a consequence of people knowing who we are, and the police come around and say, look, you're acting luridly on the tram, Don. Why do, can I just ask you that, man? Why do you put it on?
Well, I don't want to get cancer of the brain.
You still put it next to your head.
I do not.
Too.
I've seen you tell down there. No, I look at. I'm sorry. I know what I do. I don't.
No, Don. You don't know what
that meeting. You walked out.
We look at. Oh, well, you don't know what you do. The Rocket and I look at you, and he says to me, I will tip him in. He says, look at him, he's holding it to his ear and it's on speakerphone. I said, I know. Try and tell him. He's like, good fucked.
Hey, listen, you touched on something. Can I just bring up something about standard of dress? You had a go at me. Okay, that's fine.
I didn't have a go
at you. No. Anyway, I'm just talking about
standard. I didn't have a go at you.
Do you think, can I pose a question? Do you think the standard of dress has dropped?
Of course it has.
I watched television the other day. Well, I watched the football. Now, I'll mention the names. Cameron Ling. Now, he's doing a cross. He's on the boundary. Well, Cameron Ling looks like he's gone through the dryer. He's got chinos on, an open neck shirt. I mean,
I'm with you on that. Did you notice that the when I left Fox, then all the ties left?
I don't know about that.
I like them dressed up.
Thank you very much. Then you walk around the city. We went to that, which I never come to the city except for these meetings. And the
you could
standard
tell.
Of
you're like you're like Crocodile Dundee in New York.
And I'm watching the ABC the other day, and the sports presenter on the morning show, Tony Armstrong's his name, played for Collingwood and Sydney. He's got a round neck T-shirt on with a suit, a jacket suit over the top. Now, I thought a suit was collar and tie. Isn't that traditionally collar and tie?
The world is evolving, Don. Casual dress is now accepted. And
No one wears a tie anymore, it seems. I like a tie, but no one else seems to.
You wear a tie as a mark of respect, really, not as a fashion plate.
Even
thing.
At that meeting we had the other day.
We can't...
Sam turned up like he was going yabby.
Oh.
but that's all right. It was only a...
doesn't matter. Dress a... Well,
you came...
Anyway, I just think the standards of dress have dropped. Yep. Maybe... I don't think I'm old-fashioned, but I think...
You are old-fashioned.
No, right? I think there are standards. There are standards, and there's an appropriate dress depending on what you do. Why aren't the newsreaders don't wear open-neck shirts? There's not one newsreader. They are all classically dressed. I wasn't going to say conservative dressed, classically dressed. What are you laughing at, idiot?
You stopped wearing ties and stuff at the end of the footy show.
Yes.
You guys started wearing all round neck shirts.
That's right. Yeah, no. It was
what on the footy show, did they?
The last year or two.
It's not a worse look.
To just think we're one of the crowd instead of...
It's not a worse look than a business shirt with the tie off, open neck, business shirt. If you're going to wear an open neck shirt, wear a sports shirt.
Now, if you're going out casually somewhere, it's all right, Don. If you're going to...
No, it's not.
What? Casually, if you're going down to have a bowl of...
A suit with a business shirt. Out in the street. A business shirt not done up with a tie. Without a tie.
You can wear
a business shirt is designed to take a tie.
A t-shirt with a coat on, that shows that you're a little avant-garde, a little bohemian, Don.
I think dress really depends on the type of industry you're in.
Well, of course, Don. You wouldn't wear a Savile Row suit if you're going doing some oxy welding, would you?
No, that's going
to be Would you say
extreme.
You're up to date, though, Don?
No, I've given away fashion. I just dress how I feel.
That is correct.
How I want to feel at that particular time.
How do you feel today? Could I describe what you're wearing today?
I think you look good today.
Oh, thank you. And you'd know, Bo Brommel.
You're wearing... tell me, I'll put a photo if you think I'm... If you think Bo Brommel. Bo Brommel, Don.
Brommel, B-R-U-M-M-E-L.
Bo Brommel.
Tell people who he is.
Or is that the bloke that designed the boats, the big boats? Brommel, the engineer. You didn't do history at school, obviously.
What, Brommel? Brommel was a boat engineer, was he?
He was a boat builder.
A friend of mine who lived in England worked for a shipbuilder, and a bloke was talking to him in the pub. He said, what do you do as a job? He said, I work for Cunard. You know Cunard Line?
Cunard.
I work for Cunard. And the bloke said, I work fucking hard too. He said, but who do you work for? He did. That's true.
That's so stupid but funny.
I work for Cunard. He said, so do I, lad. He said, I work for Goddard too. He said, but what are you doing for a job? Now, Don.
can we reflect on the train trip? I've got a couple of other things.
No, shut up, Don. Please. Listen, you tell me. You said it reflects the mood you're in. Could I describe what you're wearing and tell us what mood you're in? Don, and did you confirm this, Sir Rocket? He's got purple shoes on. Is that right?
Check.
He's got bright red socks on. Is that right?
Check.
He's got the standard.
I didn't realise that his shoes and sock combination matches his tops.
That's what I'm getting.
Oh, Rocket, you've done art, have you?
So I'll.
How much time do you put into your kit?
Don't worry about it.
Come on, answer the question. How much time do you put into your each
no
of your outfits?
Time.
So we've got bullshit. Purple shoes, bright red socks. We've got the standard denim jean. I'll give you that. Then we get interesting. We go to a pale bone undershirt.
No, that's white.
No, it doesn't make wash
well. Well, then that's exactly right. It probably was white, but you got to put it in the machine every now and again. So a pale grey t-shirt. Then we've got a red riding jacket. Have we not?
No, it's a hoodie.
All right, we've got a red
hoodie.
All right, we've got a red hoodie. Then we got a purple or a mauve scarf.
What matches the shoes?
A neckerchief tied around his neck. And he's got a denim sleeveless jacket
like
on. Like
a biker.
Hang on, and he's got the hat. Where's your hat? Put your hat back on.
Yeah, he's got a trilby.
A navy.
Yeah,
Baker's boy cap.
Yeah, that's a baker's
boy
cap.
Or newsboy's cap.
Now, eccentric, Don, is not the word. Tell me what...
Eccentric.
Tell me what mood you're in by dressing like that.
Well, I don't know.
What's mauve and purple? That's a just love just sign, is it? Or a love... What?
No, that's just what came.
Yeah,
just like you.
So you said you reckon
Can I ask a question?
Please, Rocket.
What's going on with your road trip, boys? I'm pretty excited about the idea of you guys going away for a bit.
I had a whole lot of serious topics to talk. All right, I'll do that. So Don says, now that COVID's been lifted, or he can't get a ride here in Victoria because they're onto him, but he's got to go interstate now to get equestrian events.
And so that's what criminals have to do.
They've woken up to me in Queensland too. I can't get into a show up there.
So anyhow, Don says, would you and Rocket like to come on a road trip up while he goes up through... Burke and Tenterfield and...
No, we'll stop at Finlay the first night. We'll get to Burke the next day, stay a couple of days, then go across to stop at Gundawindi, and then get to that other place, Nambour.
Yeah, that's when you say we. We're going to have to get Rocket across the line. So why? I'll tell you why, Don.
I don't need to come.
I'll tell you why. I said to the Rocket, Don's asked, do we want to go up to all those places you mentioned, watching Morse ride?
And no, you don't watch me. You might want to get away from Victoria.
Don, it's a throwaway line, mate. If we're going with you to your events, we probably might watch you occasionally or not. We'll just sit in the cafe and not even take
we'll go to the cafe.
Well, it's Don, that's irrelevant. So he says, would you like to come up? I say to the Rocket, and he says, yes, he said, I'll drive. He's got a huge Pantechnicon that's got horses. It's huge, it is. It's like a B-double. It's not quite a B-double, but it is. So he drives it when the brakes work. And he said, why don't you two get a Winnebago and drive up behind us, and the three of us will go on tour up north of Australia. And the Rocket is... I'm not sure if he's got a huge life. I don't think he's doing a lot of nightclubbing at the minute. But his whole focus, the Rocket sitting beside me here, is his dogs.
Bloody dogs.
They're short-haired. What are they?
Snitzers.
Short-haired. Short-haired snitzers. What are they called?
They're pointers.
Pointers.
Are they inbred or they got brains?
One has. One's as dumb as a stump.
See, they're inbred. Why don't you just get a crossbred mongrel?
Because I've already got these.
A moving right along. So the Rocket says, he said, I can't leave the dogs.
The dogs.
And I said, well, bring the dogs with you. I said, we can
They're
put them.
They're not getting in my truck.
I said, we can.
Oh, well, there goes that.
I said, well, you're going to put them in the truck.
He said they could ride with the horses.
I said, we could put them in cages under, you
what?
Know. You know where the, you know when you see.
Yeah, that's where they cat, they carry their dogs in the cages under the truck.
That's right. So I said we could
dog
put
a, box, it's called.
That's right. We could put them in the cages under the truck. And the rocket went fucking berserk, he said. He was nearly called, the RSPCA. I said, why
that's
can't
how
they
used to carry their dogs
yeah, so
in
why
the dog
can't they,
box.
Why can't they travel in cages under Don's Pantechnic? And, the rocket nearly smashed me. He said, turn it up. He said, if the dogs come, they'll be riding in the front with us. And I said, fucking hell. I said, I'll tell you what. I'll get the Winnebago. We'll go in fleet. Don can drive the Pantechnic. I'll drive the Winnebago. And you can rent a ute and put the dogs. So the three of us will drive up and then we'll all sleep in the Winnebago. Although you'll have to sleep in the ute with the dogs. In fact, I don't know why you'd fucking bother coming.
I don't want to come. You just got the point, have you?
His whole world, revolves around his fucking dog.
I like the
dogs.
Idea of a break for you too.
Yeah.
Hey, when we were young, we all chipped in for a greyhound, and we drove to some country meet. And everybody, we're driving up this highway up the Ballarat Road, right? And everybody had their greyhound in those, you know, those ventilated sort of caravan things, you know, with the thing at the top. And we had our greyhound on the back seat with us.
That's right, exactly. Your dog obsessed.
Couldn't understand why he didn't win.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, when we were sitting in the that office earlier in the week.
Oh, Cat.
No, put it on speakerphone.
Hello? No, it's Cat. It's Cat. Gary Colling.
Oh, yeah, I see.
While we were sitting in that office, I looked down.
Why is he called Cat? Cool Go Cat. Ahead, Don. While we're sitting in the office.
You've thrown him.
Yes, you have. we were sitting in that office earlier in the week. I was looking out over Collins Street.
Were you?
And
developers
have ruined the city. Mm-hmm. I looked across from where we were sitting in that office room, and it's called, I inquired, it's called the Rialto Buildings. Now, what a lot of character they've got. They're about three stories high. And
these are just for people to know. They're the ones at the base of the Rialto Tower, yes?
Yeah, this is not the big Rialto building.
Not the Rialto
building.
Tower. It's
as
the
soon
buildings
as you
that
say
are
Rialto, people think of the big tower.
Yeah. The nice old three-story buildings are at the base of it.
Yeah.
You know, the hotels in it. There's a hotel.
Old Edwardian style.
Anyway, I was looking at the facade. I wasn't interested what went on behind. But it is surrounded now by these black glass.
A big pun?
Black glass.
You're surrounded by black glass.
Yes.
I didn't know where that was headed, that conversation. Go ahead.
Buildings, square, no imagination. We have just ruined the... Now, Collins Street was full of these type of buildings. They're now gone.
Well, they were when
Melbourne
was established.
Was like,
because
and I remember
they
Barry Humphreys back in... You remember Barry Humphreys? Barry Humphreys.
Do I remember him?
Yes. He was protesting in the 50s about the demolition of a lot of these buildings.
Was it Dame Edna or was he a campaign? Was he protesting as...
As himself.
Sandy
Stone?
Sandy Stone.
No, they weren't invented. He had Dame Edna Everidge going on in the 50s.
Possums.
We're 33 minutes in and we haven't covered anything.
Beg your pardon?
We're 33 minutes in and we haven't covered anything.
That's right.
Well, I watched talk about Barry Humphreys, and this is topical. I watched him on Parkinson on YouTube. Shut up. How would he be today on television? Barry Humphreys, he is the most politically incorrect person in this our society now. He'd be castigated.
But Don, that's the point. Because it's obviously hyperbolic and it's humour and it's not... Now, you said this is topical. You said I saw him on Michael Parkinson.
Well, I did just the other day.
That's 20 years old, that interview.
Well...
I've seen
he
it too.
Wasn't politically correct, let me tell you.
By jingo.
Yeah. It's Les Patterson. I got the little darling here. She takes me notes down. She takes more than that down. But don't you, Dale? Remember him doing that? Mike Willis, he's sitting there absolutely gobsmacked. And he said, I'll tell you what, he said. He said, oh, shit.
Parkinson was squirming in his chair.
I know.
he just took over. I think Parkinson might have asked three questions. It's a 20-minute segment.
Yeah. Oh. He told that joke in front of Mike Willis. I'll mess it up, but it was about having hair removed, and the woman wanted her doctor to give her advice how to remove hair off her dog. Apparently, about or some, you know,
off a dog.
And she wanted hair remover for the dog because to trim its coat down. I don't know anyhow. And the doctor thought she was wanted the hair remover for her, and he said, "Is it for your?" He said, "Is it for your?" Neck to get the hair off your shoulders, and she said, "No, it's not." He said, "Is it to get the hair off your legs? I just need to know what." She said, "No." He said, "What is it for?" She said, "It's for my schnauzer, which is a dog." And he said, "Oh," he said, "Well, if it's for your schnauzer," he said, "I'd advise you not to ride a bike for a couple of weeks." So that's very badly told, that joke. But the way he told it in the Les Patterson voice and Mike Willacy, this is on Current Affair or Willacy or whatever it's called. And honestly,
it was so cruel.
Willacy just collapsed.
Talking about the map of Tasmania and, oh, jeez, I couldn't believe what I was listening to.
I got sent today about, I could play it to you, except we have to say a very bad word. When the chap rang in from Sunshine, Bruce, Phil Brady and Bruce Mansfield in Nightline, they rang him in and he said, I could play it for you, it was sent to me today, it just reminded me of it. And he said, the bloke said, "Hello," he said, "I'm Timmy from Roebrook or something," he said, this is a Caught to Midnight at one night.
I used to listen regularly to that. Was the funniest show, those two.
And he said, "I've got a joke for you." And Phil, because they're nice patronising, though, isn't they? "Yes, tell us, Timmy, what is the joke?" "Timmy's got a joke for us, Phil." "I'll have you, Phil. I'll have you, Timmy. Come on, we'll tell us." I shouldn't be taking their voice. So he said, "Mr. Mansfield," he said, what's got the funniest smell in the world?" And can I get put off the air for saying this word? So he said, "What's the funniest smell in the world?" And Bruce said, "Oh, I don't know, Timmy, what is it?" And Phil said, "No, I'm thinking, I can't think what the funniest smell in the world is." And Bruce said, "What is it, Timmy?" He said, "An anchovy's cunt." I'll play it.
No, don't.
And
you've said it.
Bruce said, "Oh, Timmy, you've let yourself down." And Phil said, "Don't ever ring in again." And then they started to take the piss out of it. They said, "Even Keith McGowan is offended by that." And he said, "In a couple
he
of
used
Indian
to follow with Nightline was he went from 12 until 4 or something."
I used to produce Keith McGowan.
From 12 until 4.
Not then, no, on Sundays. 100 years ago, I used to do McGowan's Melbourne on Sunday afternoon.
Now, just a minute.
And now I'm with you two.
Newport, Toby's at Newport. Hello, Toby. Oh, Toby.
Hi, Bruce. Hi, Phil.
Yes,
Toby. How are you?
Good, thanks.
It's very late. Mum lets me stay up and listen to you guys some nights.
Good.
I love listening. It's the best. Me and my brother love to listen.
Good boy.
I have a joke.
Yes.
What's the funniest smelling thing in the whole wide world?
The funniest smelling thing in the whole wide world? Perhaps your nose.
Oh, nah.
What was it?
An anchovy's cunt.
Listen.
Oh, what a pity, Toby. You've ruined your track record. Never call us again, please. Never in your life even think about that. Think, all right, we've dumped you, Toby, but there are people like Carmen and Queenie online and could hear that in their ear, Richard, and are offended.
Richard and Mary, and we heard it, and Simon heard it.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're not there.
Listen.
So you've ruined it for all of us.
Toby, if you're ever thinking of tuning in again, just
don't
get a life. And Toby, grow up.
You're old enough now to stop that.
I can tell you how bad it was. Even Keith McGowan was offended by it. That's how coarse it was.
And that's really scraping the bottom of the barrel. I've never been offended.
Bill Howie's gone home.
Yes.
Doesn't even work yet.
In fact, a couple of the Indian cleaners have resigned. Rita, a podcaster.
A couple of the Indian girls. Oh, shit. No, I'm very sorry to say that word, but that is classic stuff. That is the best.
Listen.
Oh, he said you've let yourself down. And then they start to take the piss out of it. Even Queenie and Vicky have left. I wouldn't be surprised if Keith McGowan's been offended, and that's scraping the bottom of the barrel. Then he said, and John Vertigan's left
we
the building.
It. We just heard it.
Yes. Hey, thank you. Thank you, Rocket.
Hey, listen, I got up early Sunday morning, had nothing to do, I turned the television on. Have you guys got up and watched those religious shows early?
I haven't. Years ago, yeah, The Hour of Power.
Yeah. And this Jimmy Swaggart.
True, it is.
I couldn't believe this rubbish. They've had facelifts and everything else, these presenters.
Oh,
and they get
so
up,
much money.
Beg your pardon?
So much money.
But how can they get on the television? Who do they pay for the slot or the television station put them on free of charge?
The religious Bible Belt in America.
No, this is in Australia. It's called Hillsong.
Hillsong.
That's
okay, it's different. That's
and on the other channel, there was another guy.
That's the one that Scott Morrison's a big part of.
What?
Hillsong.
Really?
Yeah, he's right in that. Justin Bieber, he's part of it.
Really?
Remember Jimmy Swaggart?
No,
Jimmy Swaggart was preaching holiness and righteousness and was out there bowling over most of the people that ever worked for him. He was, him and...
So hang on, I'm being serious now.
Another evangelist.
Bowling maidens over.
Bowling them over. Just he's that busy, he had to put a boy on.
The Hour of Power was the big one where they had that big glass cathedral. Remember
Jimmy Swaggart, and what was the other one's name? He was up for fraud and...
Bobbitt? No, that's
the end. His dick cut off. That's his woman. Did you know
what?
What's his name, Bobbitt?
Lorena Bobbitt, I know, was the one.
Lorena Bobbitt found her husband playing up.
Was he one of these evangelists?
No, I don't know.
No, we've moved. I'm just as an aside, Don. Lorena Bobbitt cut her husband's...
Pecker.
Cock off. It sounds like a Russian
Jew.
His dick off and threw it out the window of the car. Jimmy Baker. That's him. Jimmy Baker. Jimmy Baker was seriously...
And Tammy Baker.
Tammy and Jimmy. They were... Jimmy's knocking over half the people Tammy got into the church. And hence the phrase was caused, I think, by Jimmy Swaggart. Do preachers do more than lay people?
Oh, nice.
That's what he said.
Good one.
And that's as a result of Baker. What's his name?
Jimmy.
Jimmy Baker. Jimmy Swaggart and Jimmy Baker.
Okay, now just a little bit depressing.
They preach righteousness, Don.
Just digressing a bit, you're talking a little bit about sex. Can I ask you, you were waxing the lyrical with a man.
The lyrical?
Yes, the other day on Monday. About words and the meaning of words and egregious. You thought egregious was a very fine word. I don't know what it
very
means.
Very fine. It was appropriate for if someone is being
well, could I ask you, now I was driving this morning. Now the word... Sexual connotation, intercourse.
Yes, Don.
What has that got to do with sex?
You enter.
Intercourse.
Intercourse. Right, hang on, I'm going to look it up. We all know what it means. Well, you know what you're talking about.
Well, intercourse means getting together, I suppose. Is that what
it
means?
No, well, you break the word down. What does inter?
Moomba, isn't it?
Beg your pardon?
Moomba is let's get together and have fun in Indigenous speak.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay, but what does inter mean?
Intercourse means communication or dealings between individuals or groups.
Hence,
and then
that's
it's short for sexual intercourse.
Yes, that's exactly what it means.
It's communication.
I think it might be like a 50s type word, you know, like a polite way of saying, you know, rooting.
And that's what I said, Don, getting together close and having a conversation, but it's just morphed into... Sexual intercourse, Don, getting too close together.
Hang on, this is the next thing. Next thing on the Google is, this is not my pidgin English. So the next thing, people also ask, how many minutes a man can do intercourse? That's the way it's written, right?
Mm.
The average time for each couple, that is the average across all the times they had sex, ranged from...
Ready?
Yeah.
33 seconds to 44 minutes.
Now, Don.
Which end are you at?
33 seconds. We're or to 44 minutes.
I don't think Miss Byrne will appreciate that.
Well, Phoebe. Now, just so Don. So
I've got a question for so she sent in. To, he says she's got to send a question in.
The average time is 5.4 minutes.
I was just going to say, Don, have you ever gone for 5 minutes? someone said to me, if you, you know, I said, gee, mate, I can shoot the bishop in 4 or 5 seconds, getting enough head of steam up. He said, well, if you bite on a damp hanky, you can get an extra 4 seconds out of yourself, so you could stretch it to, I don't know what biting on a damp hanky would do. 5 minutes, gee, that would seem like running a marathon.
Anyway, she sent in a little question for us again. Some insects burn rubber.
In what?
Some insects burn rubber in the name of survival. Which bug can hit speeds of 1.7 miles per hour to escape being killed?
1.7 miles per hour?
Yes.
That's slow.
Yeah, well, but it depends how big it is. Rocket, did you
Where does she find these questions?
Look, I think when he said burn rubber, I thought an actual insect made rubber, but that's a euphemism for going quickly.
Well, it's...
Thanks.
Well, anyway, no, I'll ask her to write it a little differently next time. Some insects burn rubber in the name of survival. Which bug can hit speeds of 1.7 miles per hour to escape being killed? Ants. A is ants. B is cockroaches. C is stink bugs. And D are termites. What is the answer? What animal can reach 1.7 miles per hour?
It's A or B.
But that's not quick, is it? That's slow, you mean?
I'm going to say... Hang on, what was it? It was
ants, cockroaches, stink bugs or termites?
Cockos.
Cockroaches.
Well done, boys. Very good. She'll have to do better next time, won't she?
Well, she will. Okay. Have we got anything else? Or are we going to get on sport? There's lots to talk about in sport.
No, hang.
And we've got a guest.
Oh, hang on.
In.
Don's got another call coming in.
That's not him. That's upstairs.
Now we're just doing this, Don.
Well, give us your best.
TripAdvisor.
I've got another one I'd like to post.
No, TripAdvisor, Don. You know the service that is offered. You fill me in here, Rocket. The service that is offered on your mobile app or an app on your mobile phone is TripAdvisor, where people. You can look at holiday destinations and then people write comments about whether they're trying to get you to go or not get
you to
go.
Like when you go to Disneyland, for instance, or go to a hotel.
Yeah, went there, a bit crowded, didn't see much that I liked. Or no, it was pretty exciting to see all the rides and things. And people get a bit of a general. So on TripAdvisor, people have been reviewing, am I wrong here, Rocket? Been reviewing the concentration camps, Dachau.
And Auschwitz.
And Auschwitz. Is that and what?
No, I didn't know. I said it wrong.
Auschwitz, Belsen. And people write in saying, yes, I didn't think there was much to see here, or this is about the prison camp, the concentration camps.
No.
And, wasn't as exciting as I thought it was going to be. And they were just writing as though they actually were at Disneyland.
So there's one where, and we're not laughing at the situation, we're laughing at the ignorance of these people.
Thank you, Rocket.
Oh, well, just in case, mate.
God. Well, you wouldn't have to say that. We're not laughing at the concentration camps. We're laughing at people describing them as though they've gone to a holiday destination. Go ahead.
Total waste of time was the headline. This bloke's given it 1 out of 5. We and others spent 4 hours standing and listening to a rather intense young man who gave us an absolute overdose of knowledge.
That's fair enough. I don't mind that comment. I've been to Dachau.
Have you?
And I wouldn't want
steer. Disappointing tour. Austere places.
Disappointing tour of a harrowing location. Walking under the famous gate of Auschwitz wasn't as depressing as I thought it would be. There were too many big groups crowding the concentration camp. Nothing shocked me other than the pile of human hair.
What?
I had seen worse on TV and the internet.
Did you say a pile of...
They must have a pile of hair there or something, yeah.
Showing that they were shaved. So
we
Don,
are a morbid race of people.
When I walked, it's interesting that person says that when I walked under the gates, now getting back to me, and when I went to Dachau, and I went with someone, a friend of mine, obviously. And when you walk under the gate, it must be just the placebo effect, or it must be just psychological, but just a feeling of death sweeps over you. I don't know what that feeling is, although I could, probably could know what that feeling
called,
is.
You appreciate what the hell went on.
Yeah. And it is depressing.
Confronting.
Just knowing the history, but I wouldn't like to have someone lecturing me all about it. You'd probably know what you're in for when you got there, wouldn't you? Or you wouldn't have gone.
You'd probably agree with this one. Don says, feels tacky and like a tourist trap. 2 out of 5. The entire time I was there, it felt like no one was in charge. Staff walking around in jeans and T-shirts. I think I've seen 2 members of staff in an identifiable uniform. You'd say that, Don.
Could I just, I don't know if we're finishing, but on a lighter note, I found a lighter note.
What has been serious today, do you reckon?
Well, this thing on Dachau is pretty
morbid. Yeah,
I found a fish and chip shop, although I've never been to your fish and chip shop in Werribee.
Careful.
There is one at the bottom of Main Street, Mornington. It's chockers. They're lined up for half an hour. It takes you half an hour to get served.
To get served?
Yes. Very good fish and chips. While I was while I was there sitting half an hour from a fish and chips last Friday night.
What'd you order?
Just a piece of flake and chips. And I just wondered, when did they, if you remember, years gone by, when did they take the newspaper? You know, they used to be wrapped in newspaper.
Mm.
When did they get rid of newspaper?
When they realised the ink was getting all over you.
Yeah, when they realised the print was getting into your body and it was made out of lead and it was poisoning you. That's probably when they realised that they wouldn't be going on
Butcher's
with that.
Butcher's paper was the go.
Yeah.
That's the go now.
Now it's in boxes.
No, white paper.
Yeah, they wrap it in white paper.
I like
white
paper.
I don't like it.
But it used to be wrapped.
I like to rip the end off and just put
the
hand in.
Yeah, that's what you did with your fish in the news. With the newspaper, it was wrapped in something. Was wrapped around. You could read the paper. Then the newspaper.
You could read the news of the day.
You used to be able to wipe your hands with the newspaper after.
Yeah. You get black shit all over your hands. It'd be great.
Yeah.
Like the old woman who swallowed the fly.
While you're eating the chips, you could read the wrapper to see what happened a week ago when they just bought the paper in to wrap the chips in. It's like I went into the dentist the other day and there's a woman sitting in there reading one of the magazines in the dentist's waiting room. And I said, "How are you going?" She said, "Wasn't that shocking news about the Titanic?" That's how old the magazines are, Don. It's like the paper. God. When you buy them.
That's as bad as your Selby fucking joke. Are we done?
No, we're not. Just quickly. Now, just a serious note. Spare a thought for Bert Newton. How'd you be? Bert's 82. And he got an infection in his toe. And they've had to take his foot. I don't think his leg, but his foot. Now, just think about that.
All right.
I don't know why I brought that up.
A chap that you played against, and he was a teammate of mine.
About Bert Newton, I was talking.
Yes, and it's along the same line.
Good.
Hurt his foot, toe, when he was playing football. He's put up with it for years now, Ian Payton.
Yep.
And he had to
have... The general.
The general, well done. His body became infected, similar to what Bert. He has the toe, let's hope it's just the toe that has to come off.
Which toe, though? Because it matters, doesn't it?
No, it's in the middle. It's not the big or the little one, but it's in the middle. Infected just like Bert. Had to have that off, but he was lucky.
Well, just think about that. Just imagine Don now at your age.
Poor Bert. A bit old to be learning how to walk and get around again.
That's a smart point to have your foot taken off and have to...
But the interesting
thing... Anyhow, we send our very best wishes.
You have a little scratch and you just watch everything because... They do become infected.
The great Bert Newton.
That's people who have cats that happens to. When you're asleep and the cat licks you, you say you get a scratch.
Yeah.
And the cat licks you and the people die, they get infections. That's what's going to happen.
How does a dog?
That's what's going to happen to you when you get your cat.
Extraordinary Australian talent, Bert Newton. I'm just finishing by saying, please.
As good as ever.
As I'm just saying, we send our thoughts out to Bert and Patty and the family. And to Bert in particular, that is having to try and walk again at that age, Don. I presume if he's going to try and do that would be, there's a challenge which we all face. Anyhow, and you had just got it onto cats, did you? About licking their toes.
No, because I was talking about the infection he was talking about, how it happens.
Dogs lick their sores.
but they don't have the same enzyme.
And they're agates?
My dogs don't have agates. Most dogs don't have agates anymore. They take them off.
What do your dogs lick?
They don't. I know where you're going with this,
Are they males or females?
Males. Well, they were males.
So you've taken the...
They're still males. They're gelded.
Yeah, I know.
They're gelded.
You've taken the plums off.
Now they're earrings.
And now they don't lick anything.
But why did you take their... Dime. Why did you geld them?
Because they were crazy. And I thought it had settled down.
Who told you this one?
I know. It made no difference.
Who told you... Geez,
no, but it stops them straying if a dog's on heat and stuff like that.
A dog has got his territory and he'll walk that every day. A female has got a smaller territory and will stay at home. So next time you buy a dog, get a female because they aren't...
I think I would too. I think you're right.
They stay closer to home, whereas a male dog has got his territory and he walks it every day.
Okay, can I ask you, you'll think I'm being salacious or grubby. You'll think I'm doing that.
You will be.
Well,
say it.
Well, you said they don't lick their testicles. Why do dogs lick their
Why they do?
They lick everything.
You said
clean. They clean themselves.
Well, you only focus on when they lick their balls and not when they lick their forearms, say.
I've never seen a dog lick its forearm. I've seen a cat do that.
I have. When dogs,
cats do it and then they
wash themselves.
Wash. I've never seen a dog do it. I've only ever seen it lick its balls.
Well,
we're going to get Sam a cat, Don.
He likes cats. No, he didn't have a cat.
Why do they? What
I'm
asking.
He's not an animal
person,
though.
No, he did tell me he would cop a cat.
Why do they lick their balls, Don? That's all I'm asking.
What will you call it? What will you call it?
Why do they lick their balls?
What will you call your cat, Sam? What will you call your cat?
Sam.
I'll call it Rod. So we'll have Rod and Paul and Frank. I can bring them down and show them the two horses. And you can come down with your namesake, Rod.
Great.
Now, Don, so that's it. So this is finally, so the rocket.
You won't be able to swing that cat
about
that
some very strong topics today. What?
You won't be able to swing that cat once you move into that new place. It's very small.
Another good line, Don. Another segue to a very good line, better than my one about the the Titanic.
Yeah,
the news
no,
about the now. So the Rocket rings me up. This is how the Rocket's going when he's not touching up his dogs. He says, "He said there's an advertisement online here to go and drive a car at Sandown and have a track day. A track day, you know, you go down, you take your car down and belt the shit out of it and wonder why its retail value's gone down overnight." So the Rocket says, "Why don't we go out to
Sandown?" With one of yours.
Yeah.
With one of yours. Yeah.
He said, "Why don't we go out to Sandown on a track day?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Who puts it on?" He said, "Oh, well, the people can go out there and it's authorised by the
Cams."
Yeah.
I said, "Oh yeah, what do they provide the cars?" He said, "Oh shit, no." He said, "You got to take your own car." He said, "Why don't you bring the Lambo down?" I said, "What? Me take the Lamborghini down to track day to belt the shit out of it and then hand it over to you to drive it around for an hour?" Fuck. I said,
on,
"I'll get it back.
That,
it'll be
he four." Says that, but he actually said yes.
Ah, I thought. Seriously, but you'd have to borrow someone's car and then go down. Get it, rent a car,
I am,
and go
yours.
Down and rip
take that maroon. Take that maroon Mustang down.
I got an offer.
I
got an offer for that.
That is a
nice
car.
Thank you, Rod.
Come on, tell us.
Yeah, no, that is a really nice car. Have you got an offer on?
Yeah.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. What do you think? I'd make that up.
Oh well, I don't know.
If you're really going to sell it, let me know because I know someone who might buy it.
Here we go. The dealer.
I see, yeah. Well,
who have you got?
Yeah. What?
You know who I've got.
Did you say who have I got?
Yeah, who have you got?
Or you
we'll get him in a room.
To
we'll
say
get,
that so you want to... Who have you
we'll,
got,
we'll
right?
We'll get him in a boardroom and we'll get this going.
We will. Who have you... I've had a man ring up. He wants to know if it's got matching numbers.
What's that on the number plate?
Oh.
Yeah, both the front and the back are the same.
He said matching numbers. What is he talking...
Engine and chassis number.
What are you talking about?
No, it hasn't got a new engine in it. So that the engine is the original engine is basically what he's saying.
It matches the body. The body and the engine have the same matching numbers. Did you think when I said matching numbers meant the same number?
I'm not
number plates.
Who's it, Bogart's father? Andrew Bogart's father?
No, he's already owned it once.
Did you say, Don, that matching numbers you thought meant the number plates?
Yes.
Well, so you'd have a different number plate at the front?
No, I thought, what has numbers got? I thought. Numbers, what is he?
Well, you should have asked your mate Selby.
Anyhow, the bloke said it's got matching. Match, got matching numbers, and I confirmed that it had. I didn't. The mechanic who looks after it did. So he said, oh, that's the most important thing, that it's got matching numbers. So it's not a hybrid car that's had parts from every other. So
it's a nice car.
He's
whoever it is, he should buy it. It's a nice car.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that I'll sell it.
I like that. What is it, a burgundy?
It's a Boss 429 for anyone who's wondering, in case they're at home and they think, what the hell are they talking about?
Mustang.
Yeah.
So anyhow, that's it, and I think that's it, Don, unless you've got anything else.
I think we've been finished for about 45 minutes, but anyway.
All right, that's it.